Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Good afternoon and welcome to Well, Well, Well. We're here for another episode where we're talking about all things relating to well-being. The first well represents how we look after ourselves, a bit of self-care. A couple of wells, how we look after each other, and all three wells representing what's out there in the community that can help support us. So, yeah, currently at the moment, flying solo today. Hopefully we'll be back with a guest. We got a wee bit out of kilter when I did hope to have a guest last week. And we'll just reflect on that because I was lucky enough to host Marcus Powell from the Digital Natives Academy, which is based up in Rotorua. And we took him around a couple of schools for some presentations, to the school assemblies, to a bit of the staff, select groups of students, and we also had a youth worker workshop. So what his big mahi is he works with youth in the digital space. So they offer level 1, 2, and 3 courses, and as a private training education centre there. And so the focus is around, his workshops, etc., were focused around digital well-being, cyberbullying, social media, the addiction, the gaming, digital harm, anything related in that space. And I think for a lot of us, we go online and do things and, you know, we might be able to manage it pretty well, but I think there's a different sort of time for our youth growing up who have had that digital device from a very young age, and it becomes part of their life where they actually have this online persona. So it was very interesting to hear him chat about the impact that technology has, and especially for things like social media and what that does to young people. But he was able to present it in a really balanced, non-judgmental way. It's a bit like if we talked about the old hammer. It can be a great thing where you can build things with it, but it also can be something where you can whack something and cause a bit of damage. And so it's really good that he was able to sit in that middle space and talk about the positives and the negatives. And, you know, certainly when he has very much is immersed right in amongst it, it was really good to have that valuable perspective and be able to look at some of the realities of online life and get into some of those ways of how we can support our rangatahi and to engage safely and positively within that digital world. Certainly is an evolving space, and I think there certainly needs to be more education and support around that as, you know, we are starting to see some of the impacts. We're hearing it's affecting youth creativity. There's that reliance on that for their work, whatever. But having had that all last week, and there's sort of a couple of things popping up in the media, and it sort of really got us thinking. And so we'll see how we go on today's show to pull some of these things all together, and it is relating to what happens online and the lives there. So for no particular reason, but Ariana Grande, I see, is going to pull back from the public eye after the intense scrutiny she's faced with people making comment about her appearance. And it kind of seems that, as a public, that we do this to our rock stars, our sports people, our coaches, even the referees, and it's even happened at the grassroots level where the Wellington Rugby referees said, hey, we're not going to participate this weekend because of some of the abuse they've been getting. You know, the royalty's not exempt either, nor are our politicians. And everything like this becomes really widespread. And I'm actually kind of thinking that it seems because people in the public limelight, it makes it okay for people to go on the attack. And we never know how people are going to react to such vitriol, and for some reason it seems like we don't really care. But it brings me back to one of the key things that I've learnt with regard to looking after our well-being, and it is the impact that judgment and criticism can have. So that's a bit of our focus today, and it'll be interesting to see what you reflect upon what's said today. I'm not here to be right, but certainly from my perspective and what I'm seeing and hearing, I'll share a few of my thoughts. So I do view that a huge contributing factor to mental wellness is comes from that judgment and criticism, and especially from that self-perspective, as we all have that inner voice, which can be also known as that inner critic, and depending how that's programmed, it can certainly make people feel less well about themselves. But we also have that critic, which for some reason we seem to need to be able to pass that judgment on to others, and sometimes that's done without consideration as to how that may land. You know, we've got all these celebrities and rock stars and sports people up on the pedestals, and because they're up there in the public eye, it seems, you know, it's okay to give that judgment. And we kind of see a lot more with our keyboard warriors seem to have a bit more of that confidence to express their thoughts, their opinions. And sometimes it might be better if it's kept to themselves, especially when it's coming from a place of hate. We only need to look at some of the media articles. I certainly know on Stuff There, it's sometimes I read less of the article but more of people's comments, and some of those comments are pretty harsh, antagonistic, argumentative, putting down of others, and kind of reflecting that we seem to have lost that art of, and I'm looking at section sport here, that have we lost that art of just being able to enjoy things, accept them as they are? Yeah, maybe question them without needing to be antagonistic or divisive. You know, somehow we seem to need to be right, and, you know, referees aren't always going to get it right in a game, but we seem to need to point that out. It's they've made errors from whenever the game first started, and it's still like to continue regardless of having TMOs, etc. But for some reason, we seem unhappy with that. Our inner critic really picks that up, and we jump on, and it can affect our emotional well-being. So I guess just to reflect on that little part is a bit about managing our own inner critic. For some people, if you're certainly there full of put-downs for yourself, hey, I'm not good enough, I'm dumb, I don't like this about myself, or hate this, hate that, you know, it really sets a precedent for what you're going to see in the world. So the first thing is to be able to notice that voice and be able to just be aware that, hey, this is what's been said, and realise that it doesn't mean it's a truth, because there is actually another part of you or your brain which sits in behind that. A lot of your critic is what is picked up by the senses, and it's making some sense of it and makes a judgment. And that's always been really important. For, I guess, way back in the caveman days type thing, that, hey, there's a saber-toothed tiger on the over there, that you're going to need to sense that danger, make a decision that, hey, whoops, this is not good. But we're a bit past caveman times, and but sometimes that sort of same habit's still going, where we're looking at what's going on, and we're looking at dangers or things which aren't as good as they could be. So first thing is to notice that voice, and what actually sits in behind that, we can actually say, well, hey, no, that's actually not a truth. It's just a thought. And some of those thoughts are just going to pass if we give it time. So part of that is being able to create a bit of distance from noticing that voice. And especially if you're able to replace that harsh judgment with a bit of self-compassion. And it may be, hey, I'm a failure. Let's rephrase that to, hey, this is where I am at now, but I can still get better. I can work on it to improve, etc. So really important, if you can hear what you say, redefine it and try and replace that inner critic. You know, have a wee think, is that inner critic the CEO of your brain? Would there be a better character to replace it? And yeah, something might be worth checking out. But, you know, if you find you are pretty harsh on yourself and quite critical on that, you know, it'd be certainly worth looking into other ways that you can be a bit more self-compassionate and look after yourself. Yeah, if that makes a bit of sense. But anyway, we'll listen to a bit of Ariana Grande, just out of respect for her, while she takes a bit of time out. And I think the song is just a really key mental well-being tool as well, and that's about breathing. So, yeah, sometimes we just need to sit back, take a few big deep breaths, and just get out there and enjoy our day. So here we are, Ariana Grande with Breathing. Thank you.
much of my energy. I look up and the whole room's spinning. You take my cares away. I can so overcomplicate. People tell me to medicate. Feel my blood running. Swear the sky's falling. I don't know if this shit's fabricated. Time goes by and I can't control my mind. Just keep breathing and breathing and breathing and breathing. No, I gotta keep on breathing. Just keep breathing and breathing and breathing and breathing. No, I gotta keep on breathing. Sometimes it's hard to find my way up into the clouds. Tune it up, they can be so loud. So complicated. All I need is to see your face. Feel my blood running. Swear the sky's falling. I don't know if this shit's fabricated. Time goes by and I can't control my mind. Don't know what else to try, but you tell me every time. Just keep breathing and breathing and breathing and breathing. And
Ariana Grande with Breathing. Just as I was saying before we went into that song, that, hey, yeah, breathing, really important tool for helping maintaining our well-being. And the reason to maintain good well-being for with today's topic is talking a bit about what happens online. Well, not just online, but also within ourselves. We'll be talking about the inner critic and really looking at how judgment and criticism can have their impact on ourselves and on others. And I will put a wee warning out that maybe some of what's coming up might be a wee bit sensitive for some listeners, in terms of we will be covering a wee bit about suicide themes. And that's kind of based on where what's happening with this online space, Ariana Grande, the judgment, the criticisms is, wasn't so long ago that earlier this year I had a pupil disclosure, and they mentioned how they'd only recently returned to school after 9 months away. They'd been off school because of cyberbullying, and in that time they experienced suicidal ideation. And I guess it's kind of resonated with, you know, what goes on online. You know, maybe we should be only kind online, but this is the impact of what some people's comments and criticisms and judgments are having on those people receiving it. To make matters worse, also aware of another student who took his own life, and one of the contributing factors in that is with social media and people making their judgments without knowing the full facts. And I'm certainly aware of other circumstances too where those situations have occurred. So a bit of the focus is really coming back onto the youth and what is happening online in the online space for them. And many of us, for our older generation, we don't quite have those same online lives where they actually have their own persona, ego type thing, and really tries to have to maintain their own well-being in there. You know, we certainly hear about people posting harmful comments, might be posting videos, people are fighting, things like that. They're roasting people through humiliation or intentional harmful comments. And those things online stay online. And, it must be sort of fairly difficult for people to navigate when those things are happening and you have no control over it. So trying to get you to think about what you do post online, what you do say, and wonder where that's coming from. Is it going to be helpful to others? So if we look at figures from Health New Zealand, that there were 760 self-inflicted deaths across country over the last year. And where we're coming from this is with the cyberbullying and online risk factors that due to the high exposure of what's happening online, one in four Kiwi children have been explicitly bothered or upset by online experiences. And that risk is disproportionate for girls, especially young women aged 18 to 19, where 46% have experienced cyberbullying. So part of it is to be aware of that's happening, to A, protect yourself, but also realise that this is how your actions can have their impact. There are even people out there who are doing their own digital self-harm, whether it's a call for help or what, we're not quite sure, but that they will post harmful or abusive comments about themselves. And what this means is New Zealand, in terms of its global ranking, is the third highest for the prevalence of cyberbullying. So this is something New Zealand needs to look at, especially when we see ourselves as this island nation of paradise, that maybe things aren't all so nice out there. Anyway, what's some of the community responses we've got? Well, there is legislation out there, the Harmful Digital Communications Act, which makes an offence to post stuff which is going to cause emotional distress, and that could even end up with a prison sentence. So realise, think before you post, that most things are traceable and it is having that impact that you can be liable. So those some of those suicidal statistics we can't actually link specifically to the online bullying. If we look at the youth suicide stats, that if we look at the developed world, New Zealand rate of suicide in youth is three times the average for OECD countries. So in a developed nation, that should be pretty concerning. So we're talking about just over 6% of school-aged people have actually made an attempt. So that prevalence is rather concerning. And there are certain demographics which are a bit more proportionate to that, but it's not really as important to identify who they are. The fact that it's occurring is really worrying. So if we start to put bullying and cyberbullying rates together, we have New Zealand, the second highest rate of bullying internationally, and that's once again amongst the OECD countries. That prevalence of online harm shows that 20% or one in five youths experience digital harm or cyberbullying annually. And, you know, as I've said before, we're the third highest country out of 29 countries surveyed in the cyberbullying survey. So it's really prevalent. And as I mentioned to some of those youth who have been exposed to that and those who have taken their lives, that it is real, it is happening out there, and the statistics back it up. And, you know, we look at good old New Zealand, and I think it's a bit of a concern that we aren't as nice to ourselves and each other as we could be. So with this increased risk, if we look at, say, from the coroner's rulings, that they have certainly explicitly stated that derogatory social media posts, online exclusion, and digital harassment are key triggers that interact with domestic stress. So, going through all that, we've got the youth online being exposed to a lot of this digital harm. And I don't think there are necessarily a lot of safeguards or practices there which help the youth navigate through that space. And especially with through this workshop and having a bit of an expert there, that what I'm seeing is in that environment, especially the older generation, aren't really able to relate or understand it as much as we would like to be able to, and therefore provide that support. So have a wee think of if you do have youth in your space, keep an eye out for them, try and have a bit of a chat as to what's going on, make sure they're okay and they can find some support if they need it. Also have a think about what you're posting, what you're saying, is it helpful or harmful? And maybe have a second think about what you are putting out there. Remember, it does stay and you can be liable for it. And then finally, it's also having to think of what's going on inside you, that if you have those critical and harmful thoughts going on, maybe there is a way to change it. And some of it's simply coming back to, hey, take a bit of breath, be aware of what you're saying, and look to see if you can flip and change that script. There are plenty resources out there online, and you could check those out if you're looking for some different ideas. But awareness is a key place to start. So, as I mentioned, you know, if you are struggling with online bullying or a bit distressed or have thoughts of self-harm, there is confidential help available 24/7. Don't be afraid to reach out. Even it can be to a trusted friend or an adult, you know, that have a bit of a chat, and sometimes that chat can just be enough. If you do need to talk, there's the 1737 line where you can call or text and talk to a trained counsellor for free. Online help, they do have NetSafe, so 0508 NetSafe or 0508 638 723. You can get specialised help for reporting and blocking online abuse. Other agencies like Youthline 0800 376 633 is an option, or text 234. Obviously, there is emergency going on. Dial 111 if there is that immediate risk to life. But obviously we want everyone to be taking care of themselves, taking care of each other, but also know that within our community there is lots of help out there. So be aware of what you're saying and how that might likely impact on others. So, yeah, all pretty heavy stuff, but some things do need to be said, and it's good to have those conversations, and maybe it stimulates the idea to have a conversation with some of those people close to you to check in how they're going and what is happening for them online. But anyway, here comes a song who's from actually a couple of youthful young guys called Bars and Melody with Hopeful.
Please help me, God. I feel so alone. I'm just a kid. I can't take it on my own. I cry so many tears, yeah, right in this song. Trying to fit in with you, I've been wrong. I wake up every day, don't want to leave my own. My mama's asking me why I'm always alone. Too scared to sing, too scared to holler. I'm walking to school with sweat around my collar. I'm just a kid, I don't want no stress. My nerves are bad, my life's a mess. The names you call me, they hurt real bad. I want to tell my mom, but she's having trouble with my dad. I feel so trapped, there's nowhere to turn.
Be boom, but now I have to
to pay. I ain't got no food, you take all I have. When I give it to you, search through my bags. I wrote this song for you to see. We could have been friends, yeah, you and me. Mr. Bully, take a moment, please. Every single day, you bring me to my knees.
'Cause I'm hopeful, yes I am.
Flesh and blood, accept me, please.
Hopeful for Bars and Melody. Yeah, well, I think we've all got to be hopeful out there. We certainly face a lot of challenge in our lives these days, and sort of today's theme is a bit about what's happening online, and especially for our youth. They certainly face these certainly heightened experiences with bullying, cyberbullying, never mind the addiction with social media, the rabbit holes which are out there to fall into, influences are potentially misleading, you name it. It's an interesting space to navigate. And interesting enough, we then have our own politicians. You know, we've been talking about today about some harmful comments and what people are saying and how that's impacted Ariana Grande to sort of step away, have a bit of a break. And we're aware of that with other people who are high profile. And so we have a new politician coming up, and he's said, well, let's be honest, there are a lot of little shits in classroom, and we need to address that if we're going to lift education standards. I kind of found that was interesting, because I'm actually wondering, what are the real challenges of youth today? Why are they shits in the classroom? And someone who's spent a bit of time in the classroom, don't know if the idea that we can use a bit more force to remove them from class is actually going to help the way. So let's have a wee look at a bit of a local youth survey, if I put that up there. So this is done with local Wairarapa youth, and you might be quite surprised that some of the biggest challenges they're facing is not actually worrying about what there is to be done in class, but things like sleep, mental health, finding work, and I guess that's to do with finances. There's also the big worry about the future. How's that looking? Whether that's to do with climate change, the geopolitical scene at the moment, family relationships is right up there, and then moving through, I mean, you see education sort of more mid-pack, even things like addictions bullying up there. But what we've got to look is these are some of what our current youth are seeing as their major challenges. And I guess if they're being the challenges, then maybe that's a bit of a reason why they're so called to be shits in the class. So here's another one being taken. And once again, sleep and fatigue right up the top. Anxiety and stress, mental health and well-being, the family challenges, financial pressures, which is sort of understandable in today's economy. But like with Ariana Grande's song, Breathing, another key important thing is about getting good sleep. We do need that for our bodies to rest and recuperate, to recover, to repair. And so not able to get that sleep, we can imagine we're going to be a bit more stressed, a bit more tired. It's going to be a bit harder to learn. I guess you're more likely to be a shit in the class. So why are people not sleeping? Obviously, I think we can bring it back to a lot of online stuff. That certainly it can keep the mind in that hyperactive mode where it's not switching off. There's a lot going on. We do have well sort of known that many liked to stay up late in gaming because of its addictive qualities. I remember a lot of this online stuff has been designed with input from the likes of psychologists, addiction experts, and there are hooks in there deliberately trying to get people to stay online as long as they can. They make their money out of the advertising, etc., etc. So it is a really tough space for our brains to live in. But yeah, I'm kind of wondering if we've got politicians sort of thinking that the idea of having more physical restraint to remove kids from classroom is actually the solutions. As far as I'm concerned, it's a bit more like building more prisons, thinking we're going to reduce the crime rate. At the moment, if we look at attendance rates, they talk about regular attendance being students attending 90% of the time, which I guess is 9 days out of 10. And at the moment, that sort of figure sits around about 2 out of 3 students, just under 70%. It was as low in 2022, and that's obviously during lockdown sort of times where that dropped right back to 46%. So for what reason do we have that struggle with behaviour in class, reduced attendance? I think it is on the rise again in saying that, but it kind of makes me wonder, hey, is the curriculum really engaging for the students? Is it meeting the needs, like it's been come through on the survey? You know, I've been in the classroom there and I'm wondering why they spend a couple of weeks doing simultaneous equations. Well, I don't know if any of us really use them much in life. I'm sure there is. If not, I'll say I can probably do them. I'm looking at kids having to do Macbeth, and yet I think there's probably other communication skills that could be done, how to negotiate, how to do conflict resolution, problem solving. Maybe there's some of these other skills which would be really helpful. Customer service, face-to-face type things. So maybe with the new curriculum coming in, things need to be considered, yet it's already coming in, and I know there are some principals concerned about how this new curriculum will impact students. For some, they feel there's going to be a decrease in educational standards, as opposed to this idea of getting rid of the little shits to lift education standards. And unfortunately, those lower socioeconomic communities are more likely to be disadvantaged. Those who are not so good at exams also likely to be the same. You know, it comes more about memory recall. And those who are the kinesthetic learners also likely to be impacted. So for me, probably more of specific or interest is like the new health curriculum. And a couple of the key concerns already raised is the removal of some of the core concepts. So the drafts reducing the explicit terminology for like mental health, emotional capability, our psychological development, things that have been in that curriculum for over 30 years. So there's a decreased emphasis on mental health, and yet the kids are saying, hey, mental health is right up there. Possibly it needs to be addressed more rather than less. There's also the loss of a lot of the cultural frameworks, Te Whare Tapawhā model, Haora. They have been cut or minimised, and, you know, we are a multicultural society, and I think it's really important we do have some diverse perspectives when we look at how we look after our health. The Western model of health is not necessarily the best, that it's going to suit everyone, and some other indigenous models of well-being are actually, there's a lot of wisdom in them. So a bit of a concern I see there as well. But it's also narrowing the focus on self-care. So if relying on self-care, it's also a bit of a concern. If you are unwell, sometimes the hardest thing to do is to take care of yourself, especially if we've got that inner self-critic working overtime. And sort of like this show, it's okay, really important. You do need to take responsibility and take care of yourself, but it's also important we do reach out and, you know, have others there that can support us. And to me, that should be part of the curriculum, as should be what's out in the wider community. So my concern sort of kind of snowballs that without positive well-being, I'm wondering how we're going to learn to full capacity. And if we're not learning to full capacity, we are more likely to play up in class. And once again, it comes back to, well, if we're going to be shits in class and then we're going to get removed, I don't see how that's going to help. There is the call from the likes of the PPTA and other well-being faculties that it's important we start to look at how we address some of those underlying causes of those behaviours. And for some of those underlying causes, it is trauma, it's the home stress, maybe it's the learning challenges people are facing. For some, it's things like dyslexia or other special assessment conditions that they may be available to them. You've got behaviour related, and sometimes it's the ADHD, it's neurodiverse is a common term we have, and for some of those that results in to behaviour which is not conducive to sitting on a chair for an hour a day, 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. For others it may be something a bit more medical related, maybe there's some developmental delay, cognitive impairment, for some maybe simply the loss of hearing. These kids, if they're not being supported and having some of those things addressed, well, we're going to understand that their educational achievement is likely to be less. Certainly as someone who has been a teacher, I know I was getting kids into my senior class and sort of having a look at their writing and say, hey, let's get some testing done. And here they've got through all the way to senior secondary school and they're only finally diagnosed with dyslexia. So maybe rather than some of the testing on how well you know your times table, it might be better to see if we can work out any underlying conditions so that they can support it from an early age. I think it's fairly well known that those with less academic success, there is an increased chance of unemployment or lower paying jobs, more likely to take a pathway into crime, which obviously can lead into prisons and the gangs, addiction, etc. So success at school is really, really important. And I'm kind of wondering how many kids come out with a sense of failure from their schooling. Never before so much or anywhere in our lives are we assessed so much as we are in that school system. And if you're not doing particularly well, let's come back to that self-critic. What's that going to be saying about you? Probably like to say, hey, I'm dumb, I'm not good enough, I'm never going to get my job or whatever it is. So it sort of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that if you are feeling that way about yourself, you're less likely to engage, you're less likely to try, you're therefore less likely to get your qualifications. And once again, some of those pathways, just unhealthy pathways, are more likely to be options taken. So I'm kind of wondering, with the new curriculum coming in, and I'm wondering, does it reflect AI? We're looking at using the term digital natives, that a lot of our youth are very savvy in that space. Is there a way that they can use that technology, which is going to make them more employable, which is going to help them to navigate the AI world coming in? I don't think we can stop the AI world. It's going to be here in some way or another, that while they use that technology and are familiar with it, how can they incorporate that to help them find employment? And maybe some of that employment may not be so much the traditional roles we see, and maybe they should be encouraged to, hey, what are your passions? Where do you want to put your energy? What are your skills? What's something that you might see the world needs that you could offer that you could get paid for? So I wonder whether it's we also look at this curriculum and we start to pivot away from what's traditional, because it becomes less about remembering and learning information, that if we can be a lifelong learner, doing little bits of micro-learning along the way, we can find that out. But I'm wondering whether it's more important that as we transition from school life to adult and work life, that is it more important that we're developing the individual, the person, the soft skills, as they say, and that can be as simply as how do we improve your self-belief? How are we going to help you to navigate way through life? Hey, what about how to be a parent? It's not something that school ever teaches you. And so I wonder if I've put a bit of a list here of maybe some of the things that would be possibly more important to help people survive as they come into their adult stage of life. And it can be things like your communication, your teamwork, looking after your personal well-being, how to be adaptable, how to be resilient. Life is not always going to go your way. There's always going to be hurdles and barriers, and you've got to learn how to be flexible to change, how to be better with problem-solving, decision-making. How about improved emotional intelligence? How do we emotionally regulate so we are better to reflect than react? It is sometimes in those moments of high states of emotion where poor decisions are made. How about becoming better at setting boundaries, that this is what's acceptable, this is what's not? Self-management. Better use of our time, being punctual, being able to fit more things in our day. Maybe it's other interpersonal skills like conflict resolution. And that comes back to communication of how we talk with each others, you know, and certainly how we might express ourselves online. You know, how do we work face-to-face with people? Are we in a customer service role? Or, you know, even to be able to have those conversations where we are developing some deeper connection. Because a lot of online and social media and that seems to be, hey, it's there to develop communication and reduce isolation. But in fact, what we're hearing is, you know, people are feeling more disconnected. What about some other work-ready skills? Maybe before you leave, it's, you know, rather than having, well, it's not so very much going to be credits now, but maybe you want to have your driver's license, your first aid certificate, health and safety, maybe a certain level of fitness or something. All these sort of things which are going to make you more work ready. Managing your time, being punctual, being able to have your own CV, being know how to write emails, you name it. And then obviously I think another real key thing is your financial management. You know, the world gets pretty complicated by the time you're talking about insurances and mortgages and loans and KiwiSaver, etc. And I think kids need a lot more information to realise some of those things coming up, that they're able to better manage that. I don't know. So just sort of reflecting back, maybe there'll be less shits in class if we actually address some of what the real youth needs are, that they are given the skills and tools to help improve those things which are holding them back, because those things holding them back are going to impact on their learning and their behaviour in the class. So as we're looking at changing the curriculum, maybe another really important part of it is that we're actually getting better supports in. And hopefully that improves that transition as they become adults. Pretty lot to consider. I'm not saying I've got all the answers, but certainly like to put a few questions out there to get people thinking about, hey, are the way we're going about things, is it the best way? Are there other ways to do it? And I'm sure you've got your ideas as well, and certainly always feel free to pass on a bit of feedback if you like. We do have a Facebook page, not necessarily always the best at keeping it up to date, but feel free to post some of your ideas there as well on Well, Well, Well. But anyway, if nothing else, let's go to a bit of music, and this is from the John Butler Trio with Better Than.
Is
There was the John Butler Trio with Better Than. So, yeah, hope we can be a bit better than what we have been based on some of the information shared today. Started off with a bit of chat about the speaker we had here to Wairarapa from Digital Natives Academy about a bit of what's happening online for our youth. Sort of evolved with that as to how some of that content can be harmful and the impact it's having on our youth. Kind of linked that in with politician Paul Henry making comments that we got little shits in the classroom. But then if we actually look at what some of the challenges are for students from the survey, starting to question whether our curriculum's actually addressing some of those supports for those kids and how do we get those supports involved there. If we're not supporting them, hey, less likely to do less well at school, less likely to have positive well-being. And I think that's going to contribute to some of this harmful behaviour that we see online. So anyway, I think some of our key role models who we see regularly in the media are our politicians. And I sometimes wonder how distant they are from the reality of what's going down at the ground level. You know, let's look at, we'll touch on some of the communications and how they're actually role modelling. It's already spoken about, Paul Henry there, sort of talking about little shits in the classroom. Hey, there's probably a reason for that, and that's what needs to be dealt with. We've also got Winston Peters, Kerry, at the moment, telling a Chinese-born MP to go back to your own country. And despite drawing condemnation from the Prime Minister and other members of Parliament, and including the Chinese embassy, refuses to apologise. In a society which is going to become more multicultural as we go on, if you've ever travelled overseas, you'll notice that as well. Hey, we need to be more accepting to the diversity and how we embrace that. Just talked about how in the health curriculum, some of the cultural perspectives being dropped from there. Yet, if we just talk about we've got other ethnic communities within our schools, somehow they need to be included in that curriculum as well, is part of my thinking. Earlier back, I think used to talk about Labor's co-governance policies and sort of a bit of race-based theory with that, and made comparisons with the Nazis. He's always had that historical immigration rhetoric of targeting Asians and migrant communities, etc. We then have a bit of Shane Jones, the Matua, talking about the butter chicken tsunami of how Indian people coming into New Zealand. He's talked about sending the Mexicans home. He's had a crack at the Indian students and their visas and how they've ruined the tertiary institutions. What were some other comments here? There's something about the marriage visa rules and telling them to get on the first place home. He's also with the Indian Prime Minister, accusing leaders of bowing down and needing knee pads, which certainly can be construed in different ways. I think David Seymour is probably another one, had sort of some fantasy of sending a fantasy tour of Guy Fawkes into the Ministry for Pacifica People. He's another one who sort of seems to consistently defend his actions, his free speech, or a bit of satire. Don't often hear him apologising. He's another one who always seems to be right. Here I am doing the critical thing. It's probably against what my whole sort of show was about, but just trying to highlight some of our key role models who get a lot of the media limelight and some of the comments they're making and how they role model. Christopher Luxon's also been in the media very recently about the business community, something about need to act like an adult. With a negative view, he felt some of the small businesses were taking. At least he's apologised. But there's also questions about how he's handling some of these remarks of those coalition partners. Chris Hipkins, I think, is also out there as well, but he's tended to make apologies. I couldn't find as much out there. But here we've got some of our key politicians making these comments. And if that's what trickles down from the top, it's kind of understandable that other people are going to be posting their harmful comments. They're going to be making those criticisms and judgments of others. If it's right for politicians, it's all right for everyone else. It's kind of like the standard's been set on how we can communicate and that it's all right to judge and criticise. Nor do we need to apologise. And it's pretty conceivable then that people are going to take offence. They are more likely to react back. They're more likely to be offended. And it's only going to increase the likelihood of conflict. I wonder whether some of that, maybe a future formula is that Parliament sort of goes away from the parties. It's like two rugby teams going against each other. Maybe we sort of select people for, hey, here are the people for Prime Minister, here's someone for the Minister of Finance, Minister of Education, Minister of Environment, and we actually vote those people in and then they get a team together and collectively form a government and they work out how it is because at this current rate it seems more divisive and yeah, some of the comments are less about what good policies are as opposed to offending certain parts of our community. I don't know. We've got this election coming up and I think at this sort of time we tend to hear more about parties putting other people's policies down more than they are putting their own part forward. And really in some ways it just kind of reflects of what's going on in this bullying and mental health space where some of our politicians aren't setting the best examples. So anyway, what is happening? What can be done about this? I'm aware with the Wairarapa Community Networks that I believe on the 11th September they are making an event. It's distinctly local to get a real sense of the different candidates in our region, what their values and what they're advocating for. So the idea is that they've got some whole pile of questions which they're looking will highlight local issues, and the idea is that we can get the public along and get the candidates' responses. And so it's more about the candidates rather than hearing the typical party political lines, so to avoid those generic answers, and we get some real answers of what's happening here in the Wairarapa. And maybe this is what I'm sort of talking about. We need some real communication, some real honesty, and it is constructive, it is productive. No doubt there probably won't be a few people along to ask prickly questions, be a bit of a heckler, but we've got to be starting to think about the well-being of our country and especially some of the challenges our younger generations are facing. Our future is evolving and we possibly need to adapt a bit more. So we need to look ahead in how we improve and make challenges how we can improve the challenges that we are currently facing. And, you know, this is not just New Zealand, but it's around the world. And to me, a lot of that comes back to communication. First and foremost, the most important communication that we have going on is what's going on within inside our heads, our own inner voice. And, yeah, if we've got an inner critic, which is causing damage, hey, let's just be aware of that and see if you can look to change that narrative. It doesn't have to be the way. It's not necessarily the truth. Remember, there's another part of you that sort of sits in behind that voice, which has a bit more wisdom and say, hey, well, it's actually not a truth and come up with a different way to look at it. Obviously, if there are some of those challenges going on for you, it doesn't have to be that way. Be careful with what you put out there online, but hey, check in with someone, have a bit of a conversation and see if you can get a different perspective. There are also people out there in this world who are skilled and happy to help. I think we can get a better world going if there's a bit less criticism and judgment, and far more important if we're a bit kind and to ourselves and others. Well, I think that's probably enough said for me. I've never really wanted to get into the political speak, but between a whole pile of things, sort of put them together that sort of seem to make some sense as to some of the challenges going on in our world, and really it comes back to a lot of things that how we're communicating with each other. So let's go there and be a bit more thoughtful how we communicate with everyone. Well, we'll leave you with a wee bit of a song just before we go, and yeah, we'll see you back next week. You've got nothing to lose from the adults.
Pounded into the ground. Oh, will you stay?